page 897, John chapter 11, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go up to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Hand over to Phil.
Victoria, thank you very much for reading, and can I add my welcome? It's great to see you here. I know we've got some new faces as well. A particular welcome to you if you're new here. Can I pray, which is our custom, as we begin? Father, we thank you for this time, a moment in the busyness of the day, to have our eyes lifted to Jesus, the light of the world, and to the hope of life beyond death that we can have with him. That we pray for our time now, we pray indeed for these next 4 weeks as we spend time in this chapter, that you would give us deep understanding and joy as we see Jesus for who he truly is and the power to give life that he truly has. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, we are going to just spend a couple of minutes by way of getting the thoughts spinning to just discuss that little question that I've put on your outlines around tables. Just a couple of minutes. It's just a good way to start to think about the issues that we have before us and to get to know each other a little bit. So there's the question. Why do you think we find it so hard to believe that there could be life after death? There's an assumption in that question, of course, that we do find it hard to believe that there could be life after death, but have a kick around of that question around tables, and then I'll jump up in a couple of minutes. Well, I hope that's got some thoughts spinning. I know it's frustratingly short. Sounds like you were really getting going. We do find it hard to believe that there could be hope of full joyful bodily life after death. One of the things we're going to be seeing today is that so did Jesus' first disciples. Very hard, as we read through this. And today we're going to be pausing on that. So we're going to be doing this slightly differently to what we normally do. We normally sort of take a chunk and then chunk and then chunk. Next 4 weeks, we're going to take this whole chapter and just pause on four different questions. So every week we're really looking at the same thing. I hope that our 4 weeks therefore will be a chance to sort of really meditate on what Jesus is saying in this part of John's Gospel. And today, I'm afraid, is going to be introductory. So, you know, I do apologise in advance if you're expecting us to draw lots of really firm conclusions. We're going to get there. But perhaps not so much today. The issue of this chapter is that Jesus needs to show his disciples what kind of life he's bringing, because they don't yet understand. That is, that the life that he's bringing for his people is not for this world, but for the world to come. It is not primarily about life before death. That's not the life that Jesus has come to bring. But life beyond death and into eternity. That is the issue of this chapter. That's what the disciples did not get. And that's what they needed to get. And the reason they didn't get it is because quite naturally, they assumed that death was too much for Jesus to deal with. That Jesus could lift many stones, but that he couldn't lift the great boulder that is death. You know, sometimes you see those white vans on the motorway. I love this. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this, but sort of limited to 57 miles an hour, you know, on the back. It says limited to 57 miles an hour, and you think, finally, you and your friends have caused me so much grief in the city, but now it's my time to shine, and you sort of drift smugly past them, probably unfairly, because they're probably a very nice person inside. That's so limited, 57 miles an hour. That is where they were at with Jesus at this point, the disciples. He was the limited saviour. He could do a lot. He was powerful. But in the end, he was a saviour for this life only. Because as Lazarus lay in the ground, they lost all hope. And we're not much different, are we? As the coffin of the loved one is lowered into the ground, we might know the right things to say, but really, death seems to be the great enemy that could never be moved, and that is our instinct, isn't it? There is therefore a kind of faith that limits Jesus, and therefore that doesn't actually get who he is and the kind of life he's come to bring. That's where the disciples were at this point in John. And I think you can see that through this chapter. So just come with me to verse 16. So firstly we get Thomas. And this strange comment in verse 16, Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Now I think these are grim words of loyalty. Or you could put it, great words of grim loyalty. The Jews want to kill Jesus. Lazarus lives in Bethany, which is only 2 miles from Jerusalem, the headquarters. The disciples say, therefore, to Jesus, "Look, don't go there. They want to kill you." But when it becomes clear that Jesus is going, Thomas says these words. And John, who wrote the Gospel, remembers these words and puts them in. And Thomas says, probably out of loyalty, he says, "He's going to die, right? That's where he's going. He's going to die. So let's go with him and get it over with." I think John includes these words because the point is that Thomas entertained no hope that Jesus could do anything about death. That is why John put it in. Similarly, Mary, devoted to Jesus. She was the one who sent to Jesus in verse 3. You'll see there the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." The great faith that sent to Jesus to heal their brother. But very vivid what goes on with Mary in this chapter, because once her brother is dead, even when she hears that Jesus is drawing near to the village, do you notice she doesn't get up from her seat? Verse 20. Martha heard Jesus was coming. She went to meet him, but Mary stayed seated in her house. Because why? She thought in her grief, I mean, understandable, the grief of a sister. There's no hope. Not even Jesus can bring that. Verse 32, just come with me and see what she says to him in verse 32 as we read on. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Can you hear the words of gentle rebuke from Mary to Jesus? But also showing where she's at. She believes a lot about Jesus, that he could have healed the disease, whatever it was. We don't know whatever it was that Lazarus had. He could have healed that that was killing him. But now that he's in the ground, do you see, not even Jesus can help. "Lord, if you'd been here, you could have helped." It's a kind of faith, I think, that may be summarized like this. Jesus is good, but death is Lord. Jesus is good, but death is Lord. There are many stones that Jesus can move. The gravestone is too heavy even for him. Death will have the final say. There's nothing anyone can do about that, not even Jesus. I wonder if you recognize this kind of faith in yourself, quietly, or in the church. You see, their friends and family say the same thing in verse 37. You see that? Some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Again, Jesus can do a lot. But now that he's dead, he is good, but death is Lord. The disciple who comes off best throughout this chapter is Martha. She's the closest to believing, but notice that not even Martha really believes that Jesus can do it. She goes to him in verse 21 and says the same thing as Mary. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She then does go on in verse 22 to say, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Now that has led some to suggest that she shows belief that he can raise Lazarus, but I don't think that can be right because of what she later says. At this point, she believes that Jesus has access to God and therefore can appeal to God on Lazarus's behalf, perhaps that he might comfort Lazarus now that he's dead. This is confirmed, of course, when it comes to the crunch, because when they're actually standing in front of the tomb and Jesus says, remove the stone, who is it who objects to removing the stone? It's Martha. Verse 39, Lord, by this time there will be an odour. Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? And so Thomas, Mary, Martha and their friends, they all show the same kind of limited faith. They believed a lot about Jesus, but death was too great an enemy for him. Jesus is good, but death is Lord. Do you recognize this kind of faith in yourself or in the church? I'm just going to pause to think about this. Notice, by the way, that they were not gullible pre-modern people who were waiting eagerly to believe in anything, as the new atheists will tell us. No, these disciples, they were just the same as us. They knew that people didn't rise from the dead. Makes us ask, why do we find it so hard to believe that there could be any hope? And I think the answer is that death is the ancient enemy. We have lived under its shadow from the dawn of time, and we cannot imagine what it might be like to have that darkness taken away, to be able to live forever. And so we do our best not to think about it. I was reading an article over the weekend. There's an interview with this guy, Rick Stein. Have you heard of him? Fish and chips guy. I think he's done other stuff as well. he's got more than just fish and chips to his name. Seafood generally. He's just had a heart transplant I think he's in his late 70s. And the title of the article which drew me to it was Rick Stein, you know, life, death, and whatever else it was that he was considering. So I picked it up thinking, well, we've got 4 weeks on the topic of death. There might be something useful here. Actually, you read the article and he says absolutely nothing about death at all. No reflections at all. Only that he knows his time is short, so he's going to have to make the most. So he's going to make the most of his life while he has it. Naturally, I think we're all the same as Rick Stein. I'm getting to that stage of life where some of my friends who aren't Christians have begun to be honest enough to say to me that they're actually pretty terrified of dying, and life is becoming increasingly a project of distraction to distract from that fast approaching day. The shadow of death hangs heavily on us, does it not? And we find it very hard to believe that there could be any hope of it being taken away. As I said, I just want this time to be introductory. The next 3 weeks we're going to be coming to what I think is the main point of this section. But I want to conclude our time here. It is this despair in the face of death that even his disciples felt. That is why Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. Do you notice that? Verse 6. Come back with me to verse 6. Deliberately allowed Lazarus to die. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he went immediately to stop him from dying. No, he stayed there 2 days longer in the place that he was. And then verse 15, you see that? Jesus tells them plainly in verse 14, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad. Literally, I rejoice. So that you may believe. But now let us go to him. Isn't that extraordinary? Why? Why does he let Lazarus die? In order to show the disciples the kind of life he's bringing. The life he's bringing is not for this world. Nothing so small as that. But for the world to come. A deliberate delay, like the surgeon who says, well, let's just wait until they're dead and then I'll operate. That's what's going on here. Why? Because Jesus loved his disciples, but he knew they didn't get it yet. You see those words in verse 15 again, so that you may believe. Now, this is not sort of bonus point belief. This is not kind of you already understand and here's the extra point. No, this is right at the heart of who he is and right at the heart of the kind of life he really brings. This is the basics. The point of this chapter, therefore, is going to be this. If we think death is too much for Jesus, then we have neither understood who he is nor the kind of life that he brings. So some questions God is going to be asking us as we read this together over the next 3 weeks. Go away and read it again. I'd love you to go away and think about this chapter, meditate on it over this time. Some questions God is going to be asking us, each of us. Number one, are we willing to allow Jesus to take the limits of his power? Are we willing to begin to dream of the possibility of full, joyful, bodily resurrection life? Are we willing to be led by the evidence to the conclusion, not that Jesus is good and death is Lord, but that Jesus is Lord and death is gone? Are we willing to believe that? That is the question he's going to be asking us in this chapter. Those words again as I close, verse 15. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But now let us go to him. Let's pray. Father, please open our hearts. Please humble our hearts to believe in this wonderful possibility that death is not Lord, but that Jesus is Lord and death is gone, and that he can lift that great enemy, and that he can give us life beyond the grave, life forever in the world to come with you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks very much for coming. Next week we're actually going to be looking at the question of did it happen? Did this really happen, this miracle? So we're going to be focusing on that question. Please come back. If you can stick around, there's a question at the bottom of your sheets as well to chew on. But great to see you, and hope to see you next week.